Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. I am Lucia Matuonto, and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast. Today we are driving to Memphis, Tennessee to chat with Tom Harrison. Tom has been an experienced technical and business writer for many years. His latest book, From Punishment to Peace, Road Trips to Forgiveness, is out now. It was just released in February. So, Tom, welcome to the RV.
Thank you, Lucia. It's wonderful to be on the road with you today.
And I'm very, very happy to be here today in Memphis with you, Tom. Since you are used to road trips, I hope you enjoy our journey today.
Sure, I will.
So you are originally from Memphis, is that correct?
Yes. I was born and raised there and spent much of my life there, both as all of my childhood years and some of my adult years there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like the most about this city?
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny about hometowns, home cities, and we all have one, right? But hometowns are both, since you're a writer, both a protagonist and an antagonist in our stories, don't you think?
Yes.
We've got wonderful memories, and in some cases, maybe not so wonderful. But in my case, I've had some wonderful memories. Memphis is such a unique city. It's really in the heart of what they call the Mid-South area of the United States. Memphis is unique from a lot of perspectives. It's by the Mississippi River. In fact, the cover of my book has this drawing of the bridge that goes over Mississippi. But the music, the culture, the food, oh my gosh, the food. And Lucia, I've heard about you and just your world travel, so you know that. So food has to be so important to you in where you've been and where you go. And if you ever get a chance to stop in Memphis, it's one of the three or four barbecue capitals of the country. And it prides itself with that. And so slow cooked barbecue pork is kind of their mainstay, and they love to tell the world about it. So, but it was a great place to grow up and be a part of.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful place. Actually, I usually choose the destinations not only because of their landscape, but also because of the food.
Yes. And I don't know whether you have a viewers or you have just an audio, but if it's an audio, then if they could see my video, they would see what you're seeing, which is a couple of wiggling hips clocks of Elvis Presley. Well, Elvis was born and raised and did his career in Memphis. And so he's credited for being kind of the start of rock and roll. And so it's kind of a unique culture in the city of Memphis, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we all know that Memphis is referred as the home of the blues and yes, birthplace of rock and roll, of course.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very, in fact, the Elvis's house is the second most visited house in America, second only to the White House. So, I mean, again, it feels like I'm doing a commercial for Memphis. But it's because I do love the area. It's been a wonderful area for me.
And Tom, during your road trips, did you come across a place that you'd love to revisit?
Wow. Well, I mean, I've been very fortunate in my life to have traveled all over the world, and it's probably traveled a couple of million miles just in the U.S. alone. I do have a fondness for the South. I was born and raised there, but I've lived all over. I lived in Alaska. I lived in California. I lived up in the Northeast. I lived in Georgia. And so, but I think if there's one place that admittedly, even beyond Memphis, that I would just love to go to, it's the northern coast of California. It's just a beautiful, Pebble Beach, Monterey, Carmel by the Sea. That's just, I don't think there's any place in the country more visually beautiful than that area of the country. So I've been very fortunate to have been there quite a bit.
Yeah, I heard about Carmel, and
Oh.
yeah, I also would love to visit.
Always.
I'm curious about this story behind your full name being used for a character in one of the, wow, great John Grisham
Oh,
novels.
thank you. I appreciate that. It's for those who maybe not figured it out yet. My name is, and there's a cute little story around it. My name is Thomas Alsobrook Harrison the Fourth, and so the middle name Alsobrook is an old family name. It was a great great grandmother's maiden name, and it just the firstborn male just kept going and going, and I actually have a son who's the fifth. So he's the fifth. Although he's only got one child and a daughter, so I'm not sure it's going to go beyond that. But I would love to share a story here, which you may find really entertaining. So Memphis, John Grisham really got his start in the Memphis area. His second book was centered in Memphis, called The Firm. If you're familiar with, I assume you're familiar
Yes.
with John Grisham. And so I became a big fan of Mr. Grisham's back then, back in the early 90s. And he's written out so many books. Well, I've met him a couple of times, and the story he told me was that he was running out of character names. And so he started auctioning off names of people who might be interested in him using their name in a book, because he just kept, he was needing some new inputs from that. And the money went to a charity of his. And so I was very fortunate to have won that auction. And so that name that you brought up was a character in one of John Grisham's books called The Appeal. And it was a judge's name in the first chapter of that he adjudicated a case that ended up being appealed. So what it's worth, it was a unique enough name where John Grisham actually used it in a book, and I'm very proud of that.
Wow. And of course, you have the book.
I do. Oh my gosh, I still have a few copies that I bought when it came out in 2004, I believe. I bought several dozen copies and handed out to friends and signed ones. He signed them. And so I used them as kind of gifts to friends and family. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and this book is just amazing. I remember also that I saw the movie with Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Tom Cruise, yeah, he's it was well portrayed. I think Memphis was well positioned for them for that movie for sure. So it was fun.
And Tom, before talking about your book, for our listeners, can you share a little bit about your childhood with us?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's admittedly, Lucia, that is kind of the centerpiece of the book. And to really start, the two main characters are related, an uncle and a nephew, same age uncle and nephew. And and these would be kids that I think every set of parents would just love to have as children. They were just good-hearted kids. They tried to be good. They tried to mind their parents. They didn't get too much in trouble. At least one of them didn't. But unfortunately, both of these characters, and really the centerpiece of the book, was that they each had fathers that were troubled. And so the uncle character, his name is John, And he's the stepfather of the other character, Tommy, which is me. And so he marries a widow and who had four children the age of 14 to one. Lost her husband, my grandfather, to a tragic automobile accident. And so she remarries and ends up marrying a guy that was admittedly not a great guy. He was not a good guy and physically abused his son, my uncle, and some other problems too. And at the same time, the oldest daughter, she was 14 when her father died. Something didn't quite work out. She became a mother at age 16 and had me. And she ends up marrying my father, who had some issues himself. He was bipolar. He had some he was kind of a heavy drinker and a narcissist. So both of these young characters, these young boys, grew up in very, very difficult childhood homes, to the point where that was the foundation of the completely different directions in life that both took. And when they became adults, they didn't know how to really triangulate well into transitioning from being a child to being an adult. And so the book is about their trials of adulthood and ultimately how they re-engaged, not seeing each other for a couple of decades, and they began these series of road trips together that began to peel the pain that they both experienced and the difficulties that they had created for themselves. And so it ultimately gets to a really satisfying, wonderful ending. There was a tragedy towards the end, but in the end, it was an amazing story to experience, and certainly an incredible one to write.
Enduring emotional abuse as a child can be a deeply traumatic experience.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this kind of post the release of the book, and the Martin Luther King said it, I think, best. He said, "Life is not about longevity, it's about quality." And I think that the antithesis of quality, with the thing that kind of can mess up quality, is going to be the punishments that we receive in life. Now, we receive punishments all the time. I stubbed my toe on a chair. I accidentally punished myself and it didn't feel good. But I think that as we get older and deal with those kind of instances, and we have that kind of level of maturity, we tend to get over those punishments pretty quickly. But if if the punishments that we receive really happen very early in our life, or they come from the people that we're closest to, that we depend on for our mere existence, and if it happens for a long time, and in our case, it happened for our entire youth to the time that we left the home and went out on our own. Those are kind of punishments that are extremely difficult to shake off. And how, again, back to what I was saying earlier, how we triangulate becoming adults is based on how we were taught or how we learned to cope in environments that were somewhat to quite a bit abusive. And there are times where, in both characters, we kind of inherited the being the abuser from our abuse from the abusers that came to us. Now, not nearly as abusive as the fathers, but we did, in some cases, we didn't know any better. And so the effects of what happened to my uncle, he became a drug addicted, he became alcohol addicted, he was homeless multiple times for most of his life. He was in and out of the judicial system at least 4 dozen times before we were able to reconnect. And so he really struggled with his growing up years. And for me, my father didn't physically abuse me, but he was emotionally abusive and really left me with a very low self-esteem. So somehow I made it into college. Somehow I started to see some semblance of success. And then I became to become an achiever and then an overachiever. And money became a measurement for me as to whether I could succeed. And there wasn't enough money that I could make that would make me feel at peace, at comfort. And so I became addicted to materialism and hedonism and just But yet I had life. Life gave me everything because I could buy it, but I didn't have anything, Lucy. I didn't have. I had a hole in my soul, and so these two beaten up children who became adults somehow got through life, went in completely different directions, but ended up at the same point in life. They were not that they were missing something significant, and so we got back to. So we came together after 2 decades, and we began to travel together to kind of reconcile our past and understand what we turned into. And once we started figuring all that out, others came beside us, and it became a tra a almost tragedy became a very beautiful story in the end. So I'm so excited about telling it. You, as you can tell.
Yes, and children often struggle to express their fears to adults unless they feel safe and trusted. In your case, in your uncle's case, you did not have someone.
We didn't, and not until we were adults and we really started to take the risk of sharing, of saying, you know what, I don't like where I am. I don't like who I am. I need to figure this out. And how do I do that? Well, I start asking people who I've trusted in the past. I say, what did you see in me when I was 12 years old? What did I miss when I was 16? Why do you think I did what I did? And even strangers. Now, I have a big be I'm a big believer in psychology. I'm a big believer in counseling, and that provides some wonderful benefits when people take the risk to do that. That really opens up the doors of opportunity. But even beyond that, I think there's one thing that might be missing from just counseling, and that is being around like-minded people and men in particular. Lucy, I'm sure you've talked to many men who've been in situations like this where we hate to share. We don't know how to open up. We don't know how to say, I did something wrong. We're the big tough guys who are out there conquering the world. But it's the vulnerability of the opportunity that that is provided through sharing with other men or other people, not just one-sided to a counselor, but being able to provide some counseling in the midst amongst a bigger group of men to say, you know what? There's somebody else in the world that went through somewhat, if not exactly, what I went through. And he's saying something that I'm going to benefit from. Maybe I can say something that'll do the same for him. And when you're able to do that, Lucia, that is your path to peace, in my opinion. It really is. You begin to exercise your empathy muscle. And that is so important. To me, that's maybe the most important. Because it takes us away from being the guilty to being a provider of hope, of communicator of hope to others. So anyway, as you can tell, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and I agree completely with you. And I see that men usually they have more, let's say, resistance to talk
Terrible at it, Lucia.
to
We're just terrible.
getting help.
Yes. And so to find those kind of environments, or at least a friend or a family member, or even a stranger, if you, I mean, and it's, I think it's part of it is that we're afraid to trust. But if you don't trust somebody, then you're going to carry that punishment, that maybe that deep-rooted punishment that just tends to hang on you. You're going to carry it for as long as you're alive, and that there's just so many opportunities to be able to say, I want to push that out of me. And the start is just opening up. Take the risk and begin to open up. That really is the beginning of the what I think is the journey to peace.
Yeah, and I'm glad you took this risk.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I was very fortunate to have had, but it was but. And I'm a spiritual guy, so there was a little bit of a lot of leaning into that. But it came down to, and I think you'll be interested in the story, Lucia. It came down to a point in life where, again, I just mentioned, for me, I had everything. And yet, within a very short time, three things happened. My business partner and I decided to close our doors to the business, so I didn't have an office to go to. I then had the ending of my second marriage, which my father went through six of them, so I didn't want to have but one. I wanted to be the antithesis of my father. He went through six marriages. My second one had ended, and so I didn't have a home to go to. And then the third thing happened. It's all very short order. Is the objective of my the passion to prove my father wrong? All this journey I took for most of my life. That what ended up happening is he suddenly passed away, and so I didn't have this object out there to pursue proving wrong. So all three of these things happened, and I sat down and I go, where's the rest of my life? Well, how did my life get here? And so that's when I began to really start my journeys, my road trips, and how I reconnected with my kind of long lost uncle. And we just reconnected and just started to share and cry and re-experience some of the pain that we felt, others around us felt, family members. And again, breaking it down began the process of healing. So I don't want to overtalk on this.
No, that's a bit of
intrigue for the book, but that's really the mission of all that was put into that book. So
yeah, and I must say that From Punishment to Peace is a powerful title.
It's not an easy road. It's not. And but you got to trust yourself. If you believe in a God or the God, you got to trust in that. But at the same time, it's sometimes just good to say, let's see what happens. Just kind of throw something out there and see what I can learn about others, but more importantly, what I can learn about myself. And that's a big step towards getting to a really peaceful place. At least it was for the two main characters in the book.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that your book explores themes of trauma, forgiveness, and hope. So we all know that the path to healing is never easy. And I believe that genuine healing can only occur through forgiveness, whether it's forgiving ourselves or others. And that forgiveness is a complex test.
It is, and that's a perfect statement. And I'll say that the finish line that I'm calling peace can only, to me, in my opinion, can only occur when you forgive not only your wrongdoers, and we all have wrongdoers. I remember when I was 17 years old, I was rejected by a girl that I just adored in high school, and I wanted to take her out on a date. And I carried that, maybe not very long. I got over it. But we carry that. And she's not a wrongdoer. She doesn't want to go out with me. But to go beyond that and really take a look at anyone who has done wrong to you, and if you can get to that place and get to that heart where you can forgive them, that actually is a path where you can begin to look at yourself and begin to forgive yourself. Because we've all done something to somebody. Mm-hmm. And we've probably long since forgotten it, where they may have been remembering it for decades. And so this has been so there's been a lot of that in the writing of this book. But I believe that in the end, that finish line to peace is the focus on forgiveness. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Tom, how do you envision your book making a meaningful impact in, let's say, conversations around mental health, healing from trauma, and of course, finding inner peace?
That's a beautiful question. Well, as you said, that the book has just been out a few days. And so as with any author, the first few sales are going to be family and friends and what have you. And yet, but those that have already read it, and it's only been out for, like I said, maybe six or seven days. I've already heard stories of people sharing their story and coming to thoughts of saying that they experienced similar instances, including one family member that had an incident with the villain in the book that I never knew about, and until she read it and then shared it with me. She had never shared it with anybody, but she ended up sh making a making a comment to me about it, and it was like, oh my goodness. So here's my point. It's already helped the two main characters. It's already helped a couple of kind of minor characters in the book. It's starting to help others that I would never have expected. And I think that's the beauty of the objective of all of this was to say, if I can take my pain, if I can take my punishment, my uncle's punishment, share with others, let them know that you're not alone, that there is a path to peace. And this was our path, and it may or may not work for you, but there is a path. If only one person gets healed from that, and I've already gotten that person already, which is really incredible, then that was really the overall objective for the book. But I hope it meets that goal for a lot of people.
This sounds like a wonderful book,
I'm
Tom.
very honored to have put it together and have had the people in my life to help, including yourself, that has helped me kind of get the word out. You're very kind to have allowed me the opportunity to speak about it, about my journey. I appreciate that.
Of course, and I will definitely read this book, and maybe I can give to someone who, needs to read it as well.
I would love that. I would appreciate that very much. And so thank you for that. And if I can kind of do one little small plug, if I haven't already done it, the website that I've got for the book is frompunishmenttopeace.com. It's got a wonderful book trailer. It's kind of a powerful book trailer. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that
No.
yet. And it kind of lays out the story in anticipation of kind of the longer version of reading it. But if anyone's interested, it's on Amazon now. It's being offered both ebook and paperback on Amazon, and it's being offered on the website. So, but hope somebody finds it and sees something beneficial.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, I will check your website. And Tom, would you like to leave a message for our listeners today?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. You kind of surprised me with that one. But Lucia, I think you're doing a wonderful thing for your audience. I have a feeling you're doing a wonderful thing for yourself in the process. And so I think that's what this experience for me has been, is that, yes, I have something to share, but it's opening up doors, avenues, and connecting with people such as yourself that it would never have been in front of me if I hadn't gone through this journey. So to your listeners, if you find yourself in one of these situations where you can reach out to someone, whether you're in need and maybe have trying to recover from your punishment, or just as day to day, just being humans in a world full of great people, and connecting with people, that is really the quality of life. It's not the chasing of the dollar like I went through. It's the quality of life. And here's one last comment I could love to share with you. Those who devote themselves to themselves eventually lose themselves. And I think that is such a powerful statement. And that's what happened to me. And I had to flip that script and devote myself to others that I really had long since thought I was doing, but never really got it right. So If I can leave that one message to people, that's how I would leave it.
Thank you. And you said this quote, and I once read that finding inner peace is not a destination, but a journey.
It is.
And yes, and your book reminds me about it. Yes.
Well, I think that journey can be taken in either an RV or a car or an airplane or in one's heart. I think that it's, you're right, it can be a journey. It can be a bumpy one. And it was for the two characters in the book. There's no doubt about it. But by incurring those bumps, it made us stronger and more focused on where that journey could end. And we were both fortunate to have it end the way it did.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, I would like to invite you to write an article for our magazine, The Relatable Voice, so our listeners will be able to read more about you, about your book, see your social media and your website, and also connect with you.
Okay? We'd love to. I'd love to do that. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. Just point me in the right direction, wind me up. I'll be happy to do it.
It was such a pleasure to drive to Memphis and listen to your stories and to know a little bit about your book. And I'm sure your book will touch many hearts.
Thank you. It means a great deal. And I do hope that in your world travels, that if you can make it to Memphis, Tennessee, they would love to have you. They'll have their arms open for you and they'll feed you a lot of great barbecue when you get there.
I'm definitely putting Memphis on my bucket list.
I hope so.
Thank you, Tom. Come back.
Thank you for the time. I'd love to, I can't wait to hopefully see you sometime down the road somewhere.
Wonderful. Deal.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.